time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Hey, welcome back to the Vintage Truth Podcast. We're talking about atheism here in this little series and entitled Dear Atheist, and we're covering some of the ways that that atheists argue against theism. They argue against the existence of God. They argue, obviously, against the existence of the Christian's God, that type of thing. We talked about last time some of the arrogance that is involved in within atheism, some of the inherent arrogance there. And we talked about agnosticism. But right now we're talking a couple of things about the just kind of a sympathetic points with the atheists. Because, you know, atheists will say, well, you know, if God's, you know, if he's real, then why is he so uncaring? Why does he do something about all the world's problems? Hey, we've all had those thoughts where we just think, Lord, why don't you do something, anything? I mean, why is it still the way that it is? And I've got a separate Vintage Truth podcast on why does God allow evil and suffering? So you can check that out. But let's talk more about some of the objections that that atheists have against God. You know, they will say things like, well, God can't be proven scientifically. Now, a lot of people that call themselves atheists, they all of a sudden are scientists in their mind, where they're not scientific in any other area of their life. You know, they're completely opinionated and driven by emotion and, you know, that type of thing. And if you ask them why they believe what they believe, they'll say, well, because I believe it or because I don't like you. It's kind of like the way people are in politics. You know, the reason I'm against, you know, certain thing is because your candidate is for it. That's my really my only reason. But anyway, they say that God can't be proven scientifically. Now, here's the deal. Science says you can only know something that you can prove, all right? Which obviously begins to be self-contradictory with the atheist because you can't prove how the universe began because you weren't there. And so the theory of how the universe began is, well, it's a theory. And the theory of origins, because there's no evidence for evolution, is a theory. It's even less than a theory. But for something to be proven, it has to be repeatable. In other words, science demands that if you document your hypothesis by observing the events again and again and again, like, for example, like the FDA testing a drug to make sure it's safe for consumption, then you can know something for sure. And so they argue, since we can't repeat the supposed act of God creating the earth, therefore there's no real knowledge that he ever did. And if he'd ever created the universe, then he may not really exist, okay? Real knowledge, they say, because I'm intellectually superior than you are, of something only comes from tangible evidence, and belief in God requires faith. And I'm not into the faith thing. I like hardcore evidence because I'm scientific in my mind, right? Okay? So that's one of the arguments. Another argument they give is that there are no modern miracles. I mean, if your God is so real, then why don't we see these miracles? I mean, all you have is a book, an old book that talks about things that supposedly happened thousands of years ago. Where are the modern miracles? If God's really there, why doesn't he do something supernatural to prove himself to man? Doesn't he realize that if he just did that, we'd believe in him? I mean, where are all those miracles in the Bible? I mean, doesn't your Bible say in Hebrews 13:8 that our God is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever? So why doesn't he just do something? Why is he so silent? If he's a miraculous God, why does he act like he doesn't exist? I mean, God could convince the whole world he really exists if he would just do something that's supernatural. So that's an argument. Argument number four is, the concept of God is a logical impossibility. So we talked about the presence of evil suffering. We talked about God being proven scientifically, that no modern miracles. Now, number four, it's a logical impossibility. So what do you mean by that, Jeff? Well, atheists will claim that the idea of an uncaused being flies in the face of reason because who caused God? I mean, where did he come from? Everything has a beginning. They cite the law of cause and effect, right? Reason and logic demand that God has a beginning. And if he had a beginning, that he's not eternal and infinite, like you say he is, thus he doesn't exist as the Christian faith claims or the Jewish faith claims. He's not eternal because it's a logical impossibility for there to be an uncaused being. Everything has a beginning. Everything has a cause which produces the effect. Argument number five, they would say, actually, man created God to fill an emotional need. You see, God didn't make man. Man made God. Why? Well, Sigmund Freud was one of the ones who famously propagated this thought. He wrote that man invented God to help him deal with the uncertainties and the unknowns of life, like death, disease, evil, and suffering. We got to have a reason for this stuff, right? So we just go, well, it's because God, you know, there was Satan and God allowed this, and et cetera, et cetera. But now we know more because we're more sophisticated and enlightened in our world. We know more. We're less superstitious about stuff like God. And so we don't really need the idea of God because we can explain these things through, you know, just through the fact that things decay. It's the law of entropy, you know, and the second law of thermodynamics, things, you know, wind down. So we can explain things like earthquakes and hurricanes and cancer and things like that. All those things are explainable now. We don't need God to explain those kinds of things. So the idea of God, then, you Christians have, the atheists would say, we're calling him John here, all right? John would say that the idea of God is simply an emotional and psychological crutch for certain kinds of people. What kind of people? Well, people that are prone to be superstitious, people that are weak in their minds, or people that are unstable in their emotions. And they would argue that we're just fine without God. We don't really need him anymore because he's that crutch for you Christians. And then, as I mentioned in a previous podcast, there's unanswered prayer. I should briefly mention that, I think. He says, what about the millions of people who pray to God and they never get an answer? What about all these people who pray to God all across, billions every day, pray to God, silence? And some people are not being selfish about it. Some people are in desperate need of God. They cry out to help and they get nothing in return. In fact, sometimes things even get worse for them. If God was really there, wouldn't he care enough to help them? So unanswered prayer is an evidence against the idea that your God exists. Another argument they would propose is the idea of there being hypocrites. In other words, if God is so great, and they point to failures of, you know, a lot of these preachers and even people they know in church that really give no evidence of God's existence. I mean, wouldn't God be worthy enough to have genuine, real followers who really do love people and really do care about people? I mean, why are there so many hypocrites? In fact, it's not just the hypocrites in the church, but John would say, I know many, many atheists, agnostics, people of pagan religion backgrounds who are nicer, who are more loving, and sometimes even more moral than many church members. So atheists would say, well, I'm laying that claim at your feet. And then finally, is something we also mentioned in the last broadcast there, is if there is a God, then why hasn't he revealed himself to us? I mean, where is he? Where is this God? Is he in space? Is he living in a closet in the Vatican somewhere? Is he in the trees, in the mountains, in the streams? Is he in every one of us? A little bit of him is just fragmented. He's in every one of us. Or is he hiding somewhere? Why can't we see God? Why can't he just make himself known? So those are some of the reasons that atheists give for their belief that there is no God. Now, I want to go through these real quickly and just debunk them, basically, for you. All of these eight arguments that atheists give as to why there's no God. Then we're going to move on to some other arguments for the existence of God. So here's the first thing they say. The presence of evil and suffering in the world is evidence that there is no God. Now, there are many ways to address this particular objection here. And like I said, I go through it more in previous podcasts, also covered in my book, The Mysteries of God. You should pick up a copy of that. Anyway, here's what we say. When we as Christians say that God is all-powerful and he's all-loving, we do not mean, and it does not mean, that he exercises those attributes according to every whim and wish of his creation. By definition, if there is a God, that means he is greater than us and that he is not accountable to us. It's just the opposite. We're accountable to him. So if God is loving, he can love anybody he wants to. If he's all powerful, he can be as powerful or not as powerful anywhere, in any way, that he wants to be. And sometimes we don't always see his love and power exercised the way that we want him to exercise them when we snap our fingers or have thoughts about him. And besides, God has other attributes as well, like holiness and justice and sovereignty, and he's free to use all those any way he wants to. He's the one who decides how he exercises his attributes. God is not a celestial puppet or a galactic genie who is at the mercy of mankind. That's not how this thing works, because he's God, capital G-O-D. Now, I know some even Christian segments in the Christian world want to make God into some sort of little puppet that you can just, you know, make some sort of incantation or say some prayer, and he's supposed to do what you tell him to do. That's not the way that God is. Another reason why atheism, this objection to Christianity from atheism, is invalid is because God may have a good reason for allowing evil and suffering, even though he may not choose to reveal it to you or me. Again, God is not obligated to tell us why or why he does the things he does, or why he doesn't do the things he doesn't do, or why he doesn't do the things we think he should do. And so to deny the existence of God on the basis of evil and suffering is ultimately the highest form of arrogance, because it suggests that you possess more wisdom than God. Oh, I know how God should use his wisdom, his love. I know how God should use his power. But God doesn't know that. God does not get the freedom to make that decision. An honest person should say this. An honest atheist should say, well, I wish there were no evil. And I hope that God someday will end evil and put an end to it altogether. In fact, the Christian knows from his Bible that one day God will end all evil and suffering. And a lot of evil and suffering in the world is self-caused. It's not God-caused, it's self-caused. And for God to prevent all evil and suffering means that he would have to be in charge of every person's actions, and therefore there would be no free will. The atheist is the last person who wants God to take away his free will. So if God's not going to take away your free will, he's not going to take away everybody else's free will. I say free will. What I mean by that is the ability to choose. Our wills really aren't free. They're bound by sin. But we have the ability to choose certain things, and that choice involves evil many times because we're evil people in our hearts, the scripture tells us. And so you don't want God to stop all evil and suffering, because it means he is going to make you into a robot. Okay. And again, God may have other reasons that we're not aware of. You know, when my oldest son was young, I allowed him to go through some medical treatment that was very painful for him. He didn't understand it. He was crying for his daddy. And guess what? His daddy didn't come, because I knew the doctors needed to do what they need to do. And there was nothing that I was going to do about it. I had to let him suffer. I had a reason for that, for his suffering, that he wasn't aware of. Okay. That did not mean I wasn't a loving father. So sometimes there are reasons that the adults know as to why kids suffer or have to go through things or don't get what they want that the kids don't know. By the same token, there are things obviously that God knows about evil and suffering that we don't know as well. So the presence of evil and suffering in the world is not a legitimate argument for the non-existence of God. Secondly, they say, well, God can't be proven scientifically. You know why I'd say that, John? John's our imaginary atheist friend. I'd say, John, you're correct. I mean, think about it. Science has helped us in many areas of life for mankind, right? I mean, every thinking scientist, though, will be quick to admit that science itself is a limited field, in that there are thousands of ways that it fails to give us the answers that we really want. Let me ask you this question. Has science cured all diseases? Wrong answer. No, they haven't cured all diseases. Therefore, science is not God. Science is not the end all of everything. Science has failed to cure diseases. Science has failed to adequately explain the universe and its beginnings. Oh, they have theories. Science has failed to prolong life indefinitely. So science has failed in many ways. It's just it's a practice. It's a discipline, but it's not the summation of all knowledge, right? So when you talk about scientifically proving something like the existence of God, you have limited your degree of understanding to only one field of truth. In other words, just because you can't prove something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just because science can't prove that there's life after death, or science can't cure all diseases currently, doesn't mean that many diseases will not be cured in the future, right? We just don't have the knowledge yet. I mean, 100 years ago, there were diseases and maladies that we suffered that science has now cured. We've now beaten it. Hey, science hasn't cured baldness yet, have they? You know, many things. You know, you see these sci-fi programs, you know, about the future. People are living in the year 2500 or whatever, and they still haven't cured baldness. You know, what's up with that, right? But just because you can't prove something in a laboratory doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. There are many things in life that we can't measure or see, but we're all convinced that they exist. Science can't ever measure 3 feet of love or 2 pounds of justice. And how much does anger weigh, by the way? Can science tell us how much anger weighs? So science can't do a lot of things. So to insist that God be proven scientifically by the scientific method would be like trying to measure radioactivity with a telephone. You know, it just simply wasn't made to do that. Science has limitations. It can't do everything for us. So in a court of law, though, when you can't scientifically prove something, if you don't have a photograph or a video of the person murdering the other person, you can still convince a jury or a judge of its reasonable certainty by presenting the right evidence. And that evidence links the action, like a robbery or a murder, with the one doing the action, like the robber or the murderer. So by the same line of reasoning, you can't disprove the existence of God either, right? To do so, you'd have to go back in the beginning of the universe and prove that God wasn't there, or to prove that he isn't here now, but he's just invisible and silent. So you can't disprove God with science. You can't prove God with science, okay? There's something that we might agree with atheists. How about the argument that there are no modern miracles? Well, I would answer this to our friend John. I would say, well, John, what's your definition of a miracle? I mean, Webster defines it as, quote, an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs, end quote. In other words, it's when God intervenes in a supernatural way. Does God still do this today? Well, I believe that he does, absolutely. But we have to keep in mind that God is also sovereign. He performs his miraculous deeds when, where, how, and with whom he desires. So I would say to John, you know, John, I don't have to defend God that he's not parting the Red Sea or bringing down fire from heaven or raising people from the dead or causing people who have withered arms to all of a sudden have fully formed appendages. I don't have to defend God. You know why? Because God gets to decide how and when and with whom he does those things. So you can't just say that the absence of those miracles is evidence that God isn't there. Just like saying if I walk into the room and I don't speak, you say, well, you know, Jeff's spoken in the past, but he didn't speak when he came into the room today, therefore he doesn't exist. Well, that's just not true. Or maybe this podcast doesn't post, you know, on the next date. Well, Jeff didn't post a podcast this morning. Well, I guess Jeff's dead. Or Jeff doesn't exist anymore. Or the podcast ministry doesn't exist anymore. That's illogical reasoning. Jeff just didn't post the podcast. Why? Well, maybe Jeff was busy the night before, didn't record the podcast. Maybe Jeff is still working on the podcast. Maybe Jeff didn't want to do a podcast. You know, I mean, there are many different reasons, but you can't say that Jeff doesn't exist just because I didn't do the podcast. Okay. I believe God still does miracles. He's doing miracles every day all across the planet in the physical realm and the spiritual realm. But I'm not aware of all of them, and you aren't either, and neither is the atheist. But you can't say that he doesn't exist just simply because you haven't witnessed the miracles. Argument number four, the concept of God is a logical impossibility. So they throw that, oh, I want to use the word logic. That makes me feel like I'm, you know, morally ahead of you, or excuse me, intellectually ahead of you. So the concept of God is a logical impossibility. I would just respond by saying, well, John, so is the concept of calculus to a two-year-old. I mean, are you going to say that calculus doesn't exist because the two-year-old can't understand it? No, it doesn't disprove the existence of calculus. Just because your mind can't comprehend something doesn't mean that something doesn't exist. Could there be that there's knowledge that exists beyond your realm of comprehension? I want to finish up this point next time. Don't miss it, dear atheist. And we're covering these things so that you can be equipped with God's vintage truth. Hey, be strong. Be great for God today. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.